A warm welcome from Amsterdam, and thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Game Consultant. Your host of today is Reinout.
In episode 16 of Game Consultant, user acquisition. Hot topic always, but definitely also during the coronavirus. And recently we had the Apps Flyer report, which is saying end of 2021, we're doing around 50 billion in user acquisition. So I did ask Oliver Kern. Oliver Kern is someone that I always ask when it comes down to marketing, user acquisition for gaming, and topics, a diversity of topics, like, okay, so what is a good UA strategy? Which data are you using? How can you determine your lifetime value? But also things like, what is happening right now during the coronavirus? How are game developers anticipating on different ways of how people maybe are spending? Are they spending less? You know, a lot of people are under pressure financially. And then obviously, what is happening after the virus? So stay tuned now for this episode with really some very nice insights. And I want to thank Oliver for doing this together with me. I hope you enjoy it. And if you like it, let me know, give me feedback. And maybe you can share it also with some of your gaming friends, because I think some of those insights are really, really valuable. So today, an episode about user acquisition, marketing, I would say everything that is needed to bring a game, launch successful, etc., etc. And I'm actually having Oliver Kern, and his company is called Target Gamers. And as many know, that if I want to know something about user acquisition, I'm always saying it's Ollie. Hello, Ollie.
Hey, how are you? Glad to be here on the show.
Cool. Yeah, we're all at home and we are both working from Holland, and we're going to work inside for the next 30 days, which was announced yesterday. So anyways, let's go and dive into it. Can you explain a little bit about what you're doing as a consultant on one hand, but also I think you have some entrepreneurial stuff going on yourself too?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, in a nutshell, I've been basically in the mobile games industry from relatively early days, at least when it comes to free-to-play. So I really started to kind of, after having worked as a CMO at Jagex and having been kind of in the online free-to-play space, I really dug into the mobile games industry from about 2013. So that's already now 7 years. It was kind of the beginning of free-to-play there. There was still a lot of premium games around. That's when I kind of started to work as a consultant, and there was just a huge demand for just, common sense marketing, as I would call it, because there was a lot of noise and people were just, going after the next carrot, the next thing, to kind of get users and to kind of hack the App Store rankings and all these kind of things. I mean, everything has completely changed. Everything is completely different in comparison to back then. So it's been super interesting and exciting, and I love being in an industry where everything constantly changes. It kind of really teases you all the time to kind of rethink what you're doing. So also these days, it's definitely worth kind of rethinking what you're actually doing and how much sense that makes and all these kind of things. I work with a few companies on kind of C-level, board level kind of roles, advisory roles. These are kind of smaller and bigger companies. I think where I'm Mainly involved. Sorry, this is not the Corona. I'm just have.
I told you, if you die in my episode, there goes my ratings. Skyrocketing.
Okay. yeah. Interview dying. I'm working with a studio in Nottingham. I've been working with them from almost like 2013. I think 2014 I started actually. Back then they were like 10, 15 people making no money. These days, very profitable, 140 people. And I've basically, been helping with everything regards to growth. That sounds obviously like a lot of user acquisition, but it's never been a predominant thing. It was also about like everything, the whole 360, basically, in terms of marketing, in terms of monetization, all these kind of things. So I'm kind of involved there, have built up a few teams there. But then I'm also working with a few other studios, a relatively new kid on the block, a company in Toronto called PopReach. Then a very well-established company for many, many years called Exient. And then I have like some board positions where I basically listen to the management and tell them what they should be thinking about. Yeah, so that's what I basically do in a nutshell. Yeah.
And that's fun. But so if you would look at your daily activities, so on one hand, yeah, you have board, but if you look at more operational, and are you doing trends and analysis? You're looking at campaigns, or can you describe that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, marketing is very data driven, and should be. Because you basically have to kind of look at everything that is going on, in the game, and everything that is going on in advertising. So it's really important to have like a full picture and not only focus on your bids day by day, but you actually, I think you have to kind of look at the whole product and product performance to kind of do a good job there. And that's what I basically do a lot. So I have like a few people around me. These are then freelancers or people in the companies that basically do more of the execution. I mean, I can do that as well. And I do that still with some super early startups where I just kind of run a little test campaign to validate like appetite of the users, meaning like CPIs and these kind of things in like a soft launch. I just launched with PopReach, we just kind of did a test launch for a game a few days ago. And I basically, it's then easy for me to also just switch on a campaign quickly. This is not about day-to-day kind of looking at what's the CPI and LTV. This is just kind of getting some users in, seeing the appetite. Are we getting users cheap? Are they going to stay? These kind of things. The typical things that you do like in an early soft launch. But at the same time, you know, with other games, it's then really looking at the whole thing. What do we need to do in terms of product to kind of improve performance there in terms of retention or in terms of monetization, balancing and all these kind of things. Even though I'm not like a game designer or product guy, I do have an opinion because I've seen so many, 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 many games that I can at least, give some feedback and give some pointers. And that's, I feel, is also part of my responsibility there.
Yeah. Because then that triggers me a bunch of questions. A lot of indies always ask like, okay, what kind of numbers do you have to look the moment you're launching or soft launching, that's better said, testing the waters. And that can be a long test launch or a soft launch. It can be a shorter one. But what kind of data is important? How to interpret it? I mean, if you talk about retentions, these kind of things, I think in the beginning it's more down to retention than revenues. But at what point become revenues, the revenue more important than retention. And what is the point where you feel there's a point of no return and let's launch it? And I would add another question. Do you think you are, is there a possibility where you can say like, hey, the game will become now a success, or no, we should stop, unplug, and next?
Yeah, that's always the hardest question. And I try to kind of, because I work quite in a consultative manner, right? I'm not the one to kind of make that decision, but I try to provide as much information for those that have to make that hard decision as possible. Which does mean, you know, I mean, on the advertising buy side, it is important to understand, like, will I be able to get users at a decent price? Now, the question then is always, how does it scale? How big is the audience? All these kind of things. That's kind of for me, at least, a secondary thought. I mean, if initially prices are just brutally high at zero scale, then you have to kind of look at that, and then you have to kind of revisit your theme of the theme of the game and say, like, okay, maybe people are just not interested in this theme. That doesn't mean that you have to kind of kill the whole game. It just means that you have to kind of refine that, and that can take, you know, a little bit, or it can take a little bit longer. I mean, I remember when the guys from Small Giant, when they were not Zynga yet, when they launched Empires and Puzzles in soft launch, they had just unbelievably high cost per installs. So we basically spent the day looking at the data, looking at the numbers, and came to the conclusion that, you know, this doesn't make sense at that kind of scale. So they needed another, then I think 4 or 6 months to kind of redo the theme and change that slightly. And that kind of, you know, that put them into a position where UA started to be much more doable. And especially in the early days, obviously they didn't have the budgets even to kind of, you know, buy very expensive users, and didn't have the knowledge even to say, like, okay, this user is going to be worth, I don't know, $100 or something like that. So, in the early days, you obviously need to make sure that you can scale this. So your install costs need to be really cheap. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, yes, retention is obviously crucial. But it's always the mix of retention and monetization, right? And that, in a way, it will depend on what you need so that you can say this is a good game, right? This is, and that depends on the size of the studio, the size of the expectations of any kind of investors. It may depend also on like the time it has taken to kind of get to this point, etc. Usually, when I start walking away from like a project, is when I see that they're not there yet, but it takes forever to update anything. I generally have kind of really the big belief that, you know, you have to iterate really, really quickly. You basically then increase the number of bets that you have against improvement, right? So, because at the end of the day, we usually don't exactly know what's going to make the big change. We have a few hypotheses, but at the end of the day, we don't exactly know what it's going to be. And sometimes it's the unexpected that actually makes the big difference. So with Lockwood, when we started Avakin, that was always, we always had a super high cadence of builds. I mean, we're basically publishing new content into the game twice a week. But on top of that, we also do a build every roughly 3 weeks. So we basically have like about 15 bets on improving metrics per year. And that's how you compete, basically. If you only have like, I don't know, let's say an update every 6 weeks, then that's obviously that's then only like 8.
Yeah.
8 bits per year to kind of improve your metrics. And the key thing is, even if you do a global launch, you know, things get hotter and hotter all the time. UA will start to kind of increase, and it means that also your product needs to improve. So you will always have this ongoing battle. And that means you have to have many, many bets on improvements.
Yeah. So that was a sort of a small tip for developers. See through when you're developing a game, take into account that you have the possibility of doing several updates, let's say per quarter. Do you have a minimum and a maximum? Maybe stupid question.
I mean, it depends on the it depends on the team, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to try to get to a decent cadence there. And that means that also the updates are not big updates, but they shouldn't be anyway. I mean, it's proven again and again with all the successful studios that, you know, lots of iterations do the trick.
And then we got cut off, which I had not experienced before. And Oliver said 5G, and I thought like, hey, that should be a topic anytime soon. 5G and gaming.
Actually, it didn't happen before, but I'm noticing internet is getting slower. And I think Netflix, Disney, they all have to reduce in quality. And I'm noticing the last couple of days, it's like, whoa,
it's more time for 5G, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole other discussion. Okay. We'll continue. No worries. Let me see. I need to.
Is that useful? Was that useful?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. Because these are little things, and I'm noticing also some indie developers or smaller developers they struggle with these kind of questions. And you know, the thing is it needs to make them think, and that's the whole idea why I'm doing this podcast.
So we got back on track, and it was fun because Oliver was asking like, "Hey, is this useful?" And I think, of course, he knows it's useful. I mean, so many developers out there, they are so focused on creating that one perfect game. But it needs execution also on the marketing front. And that's why I basically wanted to have Oliver in this episode. And so much experience and knowledge over the years, as I say to many people, he has looked under the hood of so many cars, and that makes it interesting. So we continue.
So then, right now, we're dealing with a COVID-19, the coronavirus. And I mean, many people have said all around, lots of things about it. I'm looking from the perspective right now that the gaming is saying like, yeah, shitloads of revenues. Streams are being watched more and more. Yes, we donate. I personally feel that we're bragging too much as an industry. So if you brag a lot, then spend a lot also on local help assistance to the communities. How do you look at the current situation?
So, I mean, what happens in a situation like this is that basically advertising budgets, especially from those most hard hit industries, have gone down like dramatically, right?
Yeah.
So that means that the CPMs, especially on like the bigger networks like Google and Facebook, have certainly gone down. And it means that you're able to kind of buy users slightly cheaper. They're also more willing to kind of install. So like performance advertising definitely is a great opportunity there. But it does come with a caveat because we're basically, you know, buying users in very unpredictable times. And what that means is that I think the ones that can already see it the fastest are probably like the hyper-casual game companies.
Yeah.
Because obviously for them, they can buy users cheaper, but also the value that they get from a user is also lower. So I think for them, this still works, but they're also buying against very short, recoup windows, right? And that's in a way a good advantage, right? So you might, but you need to still be very careful because you don't, you may still have like in your head an LTV that actually doesn't hold anymore. So you have to be really, really, really on top of things. And the best is there to have like automatic systems that basically constantly predict your LTV based on the actual data.
On the new data.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the biggest danger, I think, is for the companies that are buying against very long windows, right? So if you're buying against, like, let's take Glue as an example, they buy, I think what they say in always in their quarterly updates, they buy against 720 days. I mean, with all due respect, I mean, what's going to happen after Corona is that we're going to see like a massive recession, maybe even a depression. That's kind of already on the horizon, right?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is that basically disposable income of users will definitely go down, right? I mean, they will buy less food. That's probably not going to happen. But, you know, they will buy less cars. They will buy less furniture, all these kind of things.
The first priorities.
That can wait. But on the entertainment side, I think they will also kind of, you know, mentally at least reduce their kind of budget that they have in their head for kind of fun and entertainment, right?
Yeah.
You know,
so hold on. So then you say like, okay, so yeah, food, rent, mortgage, these kind of things, everything you have to live. And then you have the subscriptions like the Netflix, the Spotify's.
Exactly. I mean, the subscriptions, I think,
are
a bit safer.
Yeah,
I would say, right? I mean, those you will kind of, you feel like you're getting a lot of value for the money.
Yeah.
Right.
And you forget. To stop it, maybe.
Well, I think Apple and Google are doing a good job there, reminding you every month what subscriptions you have. And I mean, fair enough. I mean, that is their job, because they don't want the upset people. So it's fine. But definitely, I mean, where you get a lot of value for your money, and it's very kind of contained in terms of the amount that you spend, I think you're in a really good position there. That only comes once you're kind of maxed out your credit card or these kind of things. And there are obviously some markets like the US or the UK where, you know, people are already, you know, have a lot of debt already on their credit cards, etc. So I think even there, you know, I think those kind of markets, you will even see some impact faster possibly than in other countries. Both of those markets are also countries where the response has been particularly slow in terms of containing the virus. So I think it's going to be hit maybe even harder. Anyway.
Double attack. So what do you think of so AppsFlyer? They came out with a report that in 2021, or was it 2022, it's about almost 50 billion spent in user acquisition. I mean, I was questioning, like, okay, when did you actually come up with this report? I guess just early this year. So that's pre-Corona for us. Going into the period after Corona, I mean, right now you were
So I think apps in general, I don't expect that to kind of grow significantly this year. I mean, if you have like a booking.com app, for example, you're not going to do any user acquisition at the moment, right? And there are enough other programs there for sure where you're kind of really where people have stopped buying or spending money in advertising. I think in games, there is opportunity if you have like a short payback window. I think then there is some opportunity. And the key thing there is to really very, very, very closely monitor your paybacks and your LTV curve and all these kind of things. Because, you know, the thing is that, you know, you may see early on that your curve is a little bit lower. And you think like, oh, okay, well, you know, we're also buying cheaper, so it should be fine. The thing is, if you have quite a long curve, it could be that also the shape of the curve changes. And then it could very well be that, you know, over a longer period, you're actually then buying at a loss. That's the big risk. So you have to be really, really on top of that. And the moment you see kind of the curve changing, and I think we're now all experts in kind of these looking at curves.
Yeah.
You have to really monitor it very, very, very closely, because otherwise you're at a big, big risk. I think that's kind of the key thing. What that means for advertising, well, it's to be seen. I think the big spenders definitely buy against longer windows, because these are like, you know, mid-core games and these kind of things, right? They have quite long payback windows.
They cross-promote most likely?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, if yeah, I mean, a mid-core game is relatively niche and has very long payback windows, and you have to buy, you're basically buying at a high price. So you have it's quite risky then. I think that's something where you have to be extra, extra careful. I think the more casual, the more quicker your payback window is, then the better. So that means also that it's today even more important that you basically, that the theme of your game, the topic of your game, that you can do in advertising is very well received, and your costs are as low as ever possible. I think that's going to be even more important. Yeah.
So let's assume we're now suddenly take a step in time. We're now August 2020. Governments are saying like, okay, you are all allowed to make your steps outside. No travel yet. Anyways, it goes back a little bit to normal. And game developers, some might have not published right now. They might have waited because they don't know if it's the right time to publish. So it's August. Will we see a tsunami of new games coming to the market? If so, what can we expect? Is that targeting at all those gamers out there that already have a current game that they like, that they have spent money in? Or if not, what does it mean? What is your expectations for, assumingly, if we can go out in August and get back to normal life?
Well, I don't think that it's going to be back to normal life then. I'm sorry, but I think, you know, the consequences that will go into 2021. I think we will see it there. I mean, if you have like in 1 week 3 million people in the US without a job, and then also subsequently without healthcare, I mean, with all due respect, this is going to have long-lasting impact all over the world. So I think you know, people will try to keep the little money that they have together. So I think, you know, it's going to be tough for sure. And it's nice to brag about that. So far, the games industry has not been hit, but we have to be careful because we're not an absolute necessity in life. So, you know, we're definitely, in-app purchases and are something that you can also not do. And the ad dollars, the CPMs are going down as well. So to think like, oh yeah, I'm just going to focus on an ad model. Yes, you will be able to make some money from ads. Don't get me wrong there, but it's that's also going down.
Hold on. So then let's assume that publishing stays as it is, and we keep on publishing games. Then two questions. One is an observation. You expect less revenues. can we see reducing numbers in terms of gamers, or because they well, obviously maybe they have to do job hunting, work harder, two jobs, whatever. Any ideas on that?
Well, I think the key question you have to ask yourself as a game developer is, how can I provide more value for less money without kind of going bust at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Because that will keep your community of players active and happy. But I do feel that they will be most loyal with games and companies that kind of start to think about their issues, the consumer issues.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important. So I would advise to kind of get better at understanding your community of players. You know, what are they? Who are they? And what, you know, what matters to them? I think that's really, really quite important these days. It's kind of old school marketing in that sense, right? It's just throwing ad dollars in the networks, but I think it's really important. If we, you know, you have to kind of make your product recession proof as much as you can. I think that's important.
Will a recession also have an influence on, let's say, the age group of 12 to 20, 25? I mean, kids that go to school, and then later on, let's say, high school, universities. I mean, this is a large group of gamers that like to watch esports, all those streams, the influencers, influential marketing is being used as user acquisition also for gaming. What do you expect to see over there?
Yeah, I think, you know, if CPMs go down, then, you know, obviously also, you know, the cost on influencers will subsequently also go down, because they are in a way then competing for eyeballs. I think that's just going to happen.
Yeah,
I think, you know, again, like watching streams and these kind of things, that's kind of cheap and free kind of entertainment in that sense. So those kind of things for sure will survive. And if you can still generate some money from that, that's great. Just don't expect that you're going to make more money from the users. I think that's kind of the key message, I think, is in a recession, you shouldn't expect that you're going to be able to squeeze more money out of the user.
So
you need to provide more value.
Yeah. So bottom line, what you say, you need more users, more viewers in terms to stabilize your revenues.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you said in the beginning, the CPMs are going down. So getting those users is cheaper, but you need more in terms of getting the lifetime value.
Yeah, that's kind of that's the mix. But you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, in advertising and UA, we've always had to manage this balance all the time.
Yeah.
So I think we're quite well equipped, at least in games, we're quite well equipped to kind of do that. We just need to be extra careful and not think like, oh, you know, my LTV curve is going to stay like this, I don't have to worry about it, etc. You have to really look very carefully every day. Every $10,000 you spend, you have to kind of think like, okay, is this the best I can do? And am I sure that this is money well spent?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the key message.
So LTV, lifetime value, that's going to be changing for a lot of people. When do you know what your LTV will be? How's that? How do you use your data to, normally you can predict a bit and then over time you see if that's correct or not. You basically say we should expect lower LTVs. Because people can spend. Okay, so how fast can I see what my LTV is going to be? I mean, how do you do that in a day-to-day operation?
Well, I think, you know, that's again, you know, if you look at shorter LTVs, so let's say you want to kind of predict your day 30 LTV from let's say the first 7 days, then obviously you're much the risk is much, much lower, right? So yeah. That's where I meant, where I think hyper-casual companies definitely have a better, are in a better position there. Their LTVs will go down, but so will also prices on the buy side go down.
You're right,
so yeah. They just need to be, have that juggling those balls really in mind, and really they look at it every day anyway, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to kind of games where you're looking at 90 days, 180 days, 360 days, or even 720 days, yeah, that's when, you know, early indications may still give you a wrong impression, because the shape of the curve can still change, and it can be much flatter than early indications would predict. So if I take today, like data from the last 3 years, and out of that predict the LTV from users today, my curve might be completely wrong.
Yeah.
And I have to update that frequently from today's data.
Yeah.
So that's at least what we're doing.
Yeah. So to round it up, what kind of advice would you give to any game developer out there?
Try to shorten your payback window when it's so. Try to, I mean, in a time of recession, you have to kind of make your ad budget work better for you.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, less risk. I would try to shorten the payback window.
Yeah.
Before I just increase the budgets, because there's so much opportunity. So that's kind of the one thing. So that means your ad spending can stay what it is, but it's not like growing super fast.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, in terms of like testing and these kind of things, so like pre-soft launch or early soft launch, it's obviously great times because you get users really cheap.
Yeah.
To just kind of test the waters a bit, you're obviously in a good position. What else?
Do anything
I
with
think
the
you have to,
yeah,
sorry.
No, I was thinking also on the design of how you communicate. Anything on yeah, I mean, free to play, in-app purchases, should your messaging, your communication towards new users change also, or should you alter the message?
I mean, we're always experimenting with messages, I think, in advertising at least. That's kind of a natural to kind of see, like, okay, can you tap into their mindset at the end of the day?
Yeah.
And if they're, you know, if, I mean, you can have like a headline on Facebook saying, challenge your brain, or you can have a headline saying, stay at home and challenge your brain.
Yeah.
You know, you can do these things for sure and just test what works.
Yeah.
And it, you know, what resonates best. But you know, in general, I think in advertising, not so much. I think when it comes to like community management and these kind of things, I think there are lots of opportunities there, definitely, to kind of really hear out your community, understand them better, understand what matters to them and what they would, you know. It's even important to kind of do some research maybe and figure out, like, you know, are they already spending less?
Yeah.
What would they continue to pay for? These kind of things, because you have to kind of try to tweak possibly your product to be a bit more recession proof.
Yeah. Got it. All right, Oliver. I enlightening. Thank you very much for giving your thoughts and advice. And stay safe.
Yeah, same for you. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Cheerio.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was all for today. Thank you, Oliver. And as I said, if you have some questions concerning user acquisition, then check out Oliver on LinkedIn. I have the link in the blog post. And next up on Sunday, besides Chris Reed thinks about esports, we also have Malte of Bitcraft. That's going to be interesting too. So stay tuned. And as I said before, stay safe and ciao for now.
this was all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Game Consultant. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And remember, do share this podcast with other members of the games industry.